Hi, my name is Andrew Connell, and in this screencast, we're going to look at a deep dive into the Office 365 API for the calendar in Exchange Online. Before we begin, let's look at the developer vision for the Office 365 development. It boils down to both users and data. What do I mean by users? Users want to be able to work with their devices and interact with all of their information using custom applications or some of the applications that have been provided by Microsoft, such as the Office clients as Word, Excel, Outlook, and PowerPoint, as well as custom applications that developers build. They want to work with them in a familiar environment with familiar user interfaces. For developers, we want to be able to build custom applications using a multitude of different platforms, from working in a mobile experience to working off a server-side product, something that's working on the desktop, or even just a standard web page. We want to be able to get to all of our data and provide these really good experiences for our users. We're going to first do an overview, and then we'll look at the connected services object, paging support, batching support, create, read, update, and delete support, and then how we can use the REST API to do some exchange operations. First, let's do an overview of what's available in the API. Office 365 APIs exist for Exchange that include calendar, mail, and contacts. They're accessible through REST using the outlook.office365.com/api/v1.0/me endpoints, and then you can get to the calendar by going to /events. Office 365 APIs are also accessible through the Outlook Services Client object, which is a library in the .NET SDK that abstracts away the sending and receiving of REST requests for .NET projects. Some of the common API operations that you'll want to do with your calendar in Office 365 is reading events for a specific date range, creating events, deleting events, and editing events. You can see a list of all the properties that are available to you on the right-hand side. Let's talk a little bit about the Connected Services Wizard. The Connected Services Wizard is going to make your life a little bit easier on connecting to Office 365, creating apps in Azure AD, and granting it the necessary permissions. The way you'll do this is within Visual Studio, you select Project, and then right-click and say Add Connected Service. And what that will do is that'll then pop open a dialog to register your app. There you'll create your new app by clicking on Register Your App. You'll log in with your Office 365 credentials, and then you can specify the different permissions that you want your app to have. Here we're showing an example of contacts and mail permissions, but you have another option for doing calendars. Once you complete the dialog, Visual Studio will add all the necessary assemblies for the connected service to your Visual Studio project. You'll have namespaces added for office365.oauth, office365.oauth.web, and office365.outlookservices. You'll also have four settings added to your web config for app settings. These are going to be all the things that your app needs to authenticate with Azure AD, such as the client ID, the password, the authorization URL, and the redirect URL for your application. One thing that you'll commonly want to do is get an instance of an Outlook Services client, and you see that's returned here by this method at the top of the slide. This method is called ensure client created. It's a common method that you're going to probably want to copy and paste and use it across different implementations. So what does this method do? Well, if you jump down a little bit, you'll find an instance of an authentication context being created. That's coming from the Azure Active Directory Authentication Library, or the ADAL library, ADAL. That object is going to allow you to easily authenticate with Azure AD. I'm going to pass in the authority, and I'm also going to pass in a token cache. What the token cache will do is internally it will store the tokens that you retrieve from Azure AD, and it will keep those inside of a local cache. You can implement that using a database or a session state. In this case here, we're using Entity Framework and a local database. The authentication context object will do in the future is whenever you go to request a token for a specific resource for a specific user, it will check to see if it has that token already in cache and if the token is still valid. And if it is, it will go ahead and return that one back. But if it isn't, or if it's expired, it will use the refresh token it obtained to get a new instance of the access token and save that. Or if you've never gotten it, the token, it will reach out and authenticate with Azure AD and obtain the token and save it in cache. The next thing you need to do is you need to find out what the endpoint is for the calendar. So in this case here, I'm going to use something called the Discovery Client, and that's an abstract class that implements or interfaces with the Discovery service in Office 365. Here I'm going to pass in an instance of the endpoint for the Discovery service, which is a well-known URL, and I also need to pass in an access token for the Discovery service. And so to do that, I'm going to call the authorizationContext.acquireTokenSilentAsync. The silent piece of that is what's going to do all the stuff I mentioned a second ago, which is checking out the cache to see if I already have an access token or if it's expired and go get a fresh new one or all those different things I was just mentioning a moment ago. So it will go get a access token or an authentication context using the Discovery Services resource ID and passing in the credentials for the current user as well as the ID of the current user from the claim that was passed in. I will then use the discover capability async method on the Discovery client to go get a reference to the endpoint for the calendar. And then I'll use that information to create an instance of the Outlook Services client. So you'll see there I'm passing in at the end to the Outlook Services client object. I'm passing into the constructor the URL for the service endpoint, and then I'm also passing in an access token, which again, I'm using the auth context to go obtain that for the resource ID for the specific calendar resource. So where would I use this, or how would I use this Outlook Services client object? Well, that first line you see there on the slide, or in the code sample on the slide, is calling the ensure client created method that we looked at on the previous slide. And then if you look at the code at the bottom, you'll see that we're using that to go get a instance of a specific message or event or contact. So I'm saying client.me, that's looking at my the information for the currently logged on user, look at my event, so it's looking at my mailbox in Office 365, and it's getting a specific event by an ID. How do we retrieve events? Well, on the left-hand side, what I've done is I've created a class that's going to serve as my my model for my application. I'm not going to work with the data that comes straight back from Office 365. I'm going to go do a little bit of formatting to it and some customization stuff to it. So here I've got an ID for my event, a subject, a start date, an end date, a location, and a body. On the right-hand side, I have a method called getEvents. And so what this is going to do is it's going to use the ensure client created method to create an instance of the client context. And then I'm going to use a link expression to say, go get all the events. So for each event in the client.me.events, find where every event is greater than or equal to the current timestamp. All the times are in the universal time format, so the UTC format. I'm going to pull those values out. I'm going to grab the first 10 that come back, and then I'm going to say execute async. And what that will do is that will go grab all of those items. I'm then going to take all of those items that I got back. I'm going to look at the current page and sort them based on the start date. I'm then going to go walk through that entire collection of events, and I'm going to convert the data that I got from the Office 365 API into creating a collection of events that I'll return back to my caller, which is my controller and my MVC application. So let's take a look at an MVC project that uses the connected services for a calendar. In this demo, I'd like to show you how to add a connected service to an existing MVC application. So here we can see in the web config that I don't have a client ID and password set up for this application. So what I'm going to do is right click on the project. I'm going to add a new connected service. I'll first click to register the app. I'm already logged into Azure AD, so I don't have to worry about logging in. I'm going to modify the properties for this to make sure that we're set to a single organization, so it's a single tenant app, and that we're only going to listen on HTTPS endpoints. Then I'm going to come over to the users and groups and set a permission to let it sign in and read my profile. Because we're working with the calendar, I'm going to come over to the calendar permission and I'm going to grant this app permission to read and write to my calendars. And then I'll click OK. Visual Studio is now going to add a new GET package that contains all the references to the assemblies for Office 365 and logging in with Azure AD. And we can see here that we now have our references to the Office 365 Discovery and Outlook Services namespaces. So now we've seen how to add a connected service to an existing MVC project. We can also see in the web config how our client ID and password have been set. We just need to specify what Azure AD tenant we're using. I know that is going to be found right here in this little snippet that I've created. So I'll just go ahead and paste that in. I got that from my Azure AD tenant. So now we're in pretty good shape. Now in addition, we can also have paging support for our calendar items. The way this is done is you're going to use the skip and take methods to select a specific page of data from Office 365. The trick is that you're going to create your query to go find all the information you want, and then you're going to use the skip method to say, now jump to the item in the result set that is on the page that we're looking for. And so if I'm looking for items on page 4, then I would take the current page, which would be page 4, multiply it times the size of the page, so that would be, let's say, 10 items per page, that would be 40. So I'm saying skip the first 40 items and then take the next 10. So that would say use the dot take method to take the next 10, and then I call execute async. It's important to call execute async after I do skip and take, not before. If I do it before, then I'm going to still be getting all the data back from Office 365, and then I'll be doing the skip and take on the web server and not telling Office 365 to do the skip and take for me. So let's take a look at the paging support. Now let's see how we can take our MVC project and query the Office 365 API for mail. What I have is a controller that I've already created called my events controller. My events controller is going to only respond to authenticated requests. I have an index action on here that's going to go grab all of the calendar events and display them on the page. Here we can see I'm using something called a My Events repository. We'll look at that in just a minute. It has a method called getEvents, and I'll return those events back to the caller. I can also get a specific event by just saying getEvent in singular and passing in the ID of that event that was passed in through one of the details. So, if we look at my repository here, what we'll see on getEvents is that the very first thing that we're going to do is we're going to call ensureClientCreated. I discussed this in the slides about how this class is going to be used to grab the access token for the discovery service and then use the discovery service to query the calendar endpoint and the calendar capability and get his endpoint ID and his resource ID. I'll then use that to then create an Outlook Services client object that I can then use to go query for all the events. Here you can see I'm writing a link query to go query for all the events where everything is less than now. I'm then going to go take just the first 10 items that I find and then say execute it asynchronously. I'm then going to look at the current page of all the data that was submitted, sort it in ascending order, and then I'm going to walk through converting it to one of my internal objects to make it easier to work with. So I've created an internal object called myEvent. myEvent has all the same properties that you normally see on an event, except I've done some things like change the location to just being the display name. I just care about showing the location here. To get a specific event, the only difference is that when I go to the events collection, I say get by ID and I pass in a specific ID. Now let's talk a little bit about batching with REST requests in Office 365. REST is much more chatty than CSOM, and the reason for that is that each action is sent as a separate request. The client object model allows for multiple requests to be sent as one request. Each request round trip is expensive, and it can slow the application experience for your users. Microsoft added batching support to the Office 365 APIs that shipped with the Office 365 APIs. Batching requests with REST was that support was added to SharePoint Online in late 2014, and this is going to allow you to send multiple read and write operations in a single HTTP request. However, it's worth noting that SharePoint 2013 on-premises does not support this option. This is only available in Office 365 at the time of recording. Let's take a look and see what the impact can be for this. What you'll see here at the top is I have sessions 1, 2, and 3. Sessions 1 and 2 are creating new items, and session 3 is getting a list of all the items in the drivers list. I can put all of those requests together as one single request and submit it to the batch endpoint that you see there on line 24. Line 24 does the exact same thing that lines 1, 2, and 3 do, but it's only one round trip to the server. You can see this even further if you look at, say, a delete item. So here I'm deleting 6 items from the list and then getting a list of all the items that are remaining in that list. I could do all 7 of those operations, all 7 of those round trips in a single round trip to the server by simply calling the batch endpoint that you see there on line 28. So how does this work? Well, I'm just going to give it to you from an overview perspective. You're going to want to look at the documentation here to see how to build these up because it's a little more work. What you're going to have is a batch request, and inside of a batch request, you're going to have multiple chain sets and an HTTP GET. The chain sets are non-HTTP GET operations. So each time I want to do something like a create something, update something, or delete it, that's going to be a separate chain set. Then finally, I'm going to have a GET operation at the end, most likely, to go get all my information. When the response comes back, I'm going to get a response object. Now that response object is going to have a response chain set for each individual request that I made, and then it's going to have a single GET response at the very end. Now let's take a look at how we can create, update, and delete events inside of a calendar. Using the .NET SDK for the Office 365, I can create items. I can also delete them, and I can also modify them. To get one, you see there in the code at the top, I'm saying client.me.events, and then I call get by ID, passing in the ID of the of the event that I'm looking for. And in this case, I'm just going to use the same object that I used showed you before in a slide. Then I'm going to convert the data that comes back from Office 365 to a local model object. To delete it, once I get the object, I just call delete async on the object. What about adding items? Well, the way I would do this is I would go create a new object first. So I'm going to first go in, and you see I'm creating a new object. So I've got a location object that's got a display name on it, and then I've also got my event object that I'm creating. This event object is coming from the Office 365 namespace. Then I'm going to say client.me.events.addEventAsync and pass in that event, and it will save my changes. Let's take a look at how we can do update operations with the Office 365 Outlook Services Client object. Now let me show you how I can make changes to my calendar items. Here in my controller again, I'm in my events controller. I'm looking at an action here called delete. The way that's going to work is it's going to call my repository passing in the ID. To the delete event. When I want to create a new event, I'm going to pass in the event that I want to create. So I'm passing in my event, which is my internal object that I've created that I'm using in my view. I'm going to go ahead and add him to the event. So let's take a look and see how this works. If I come over here to my event repository, to delete an event, well, it's pretty similar to all the other methods of being able to work with objects. I'm going to go get a reference to the events collection and then call get by ID to get a specific event. And then I'm going to go call delete async on that event. Next, to create an event, I'm going to say I want to add an event, and then I'm going to go create a new event object. So this event object is from Office 365. I'm setting the subject, start, end, and location, and you see it of just above there on lines 81 and 80, I'm having to create a new location object. Then I'm going to go create the event by just saying add event async. And that's how I can delete and add events using the Office 365 API for calendars. Now let's look at some operations we can do with REST for Exchange Online. The .NET SDK is not the only option we have to work with the different endpoints. Sometimes you're working with a technology that is not supported by the .NET SDKs or the other native SDKs that Office 365 ships, like the iOS or Android SDKs. For example, what if I wanted to work with something like Node or PHP? Here what we have is in the middle block you see, we're going to use the outlook.office365.com endpoint, point to slash API, slash v1.0, slash me, and then I can look at either events or calendars and the events within those calendars. We can read entities using REST, and the way we're going to do that is first to authenticate. So you see I've got an endpoint that I've created there in this code snippet for get contacts. So it's pointing to the contacts endpoint. I'm only getting specific fields back, and I'm also doing the paging using skip and top. So skip is the same as we saw earlier in the .NET SDK. Top is serving the same role that take served. The next thing that's important here to notice is that in the request headers that I'm creating, one of my headers is an authorization header, and I'm passing in the bearer value, and then I'm passing in the get access token to get my data back. The get access token is another method. I'm not showing it here, but it goes and obtains an access token using the same syntax that I showed you earlier that we used for the Outlook services client. This code is then using a method called JSON to XML to convert the JSON response over to XML so that I can use the link to XML objects or the X element object to walk through and look at all the different values that come back from Office 365. Adding an entity is very simple. You're just going to create a new string here for a JSON object, and then you can pass it across by setting the content of the request equal to the string that you've created. Now, this is one option. Another option is to use serialization and deserialization to create objects as real objects and then serialize them to JSON strings and submit those across. And when you get the JSON back, instead of converting it to XML, you can convert it over to a JSON string. To delete an item, you're simply going to point to the endpoint and you're going to issue an HTTP delete. And you see that where I'm creating the HTTP request message. In this module, we did an overview of the calendar API for Office 365, both using the .NET SDK and using REST. We looked at the connected services wizard, paging support, batching support, CRUD support for create, read, update, and delete operations, and then also how we can do some operations against Exchange Online using the REST API. Microsoft offers multiple ways to get in touch with them and also to stay up to date on what's going on. One of the things is the Developer Program Watch. What the Developer Program is all about is allowing you to sign up and get email newsletters, free developer subscription to Office 365, which will give you a 1 year free to a Office 365 tenant, free training, free tools, and free webinars that they'll publish on a periodic basis. Using this developer program, you'll be able to stay in touch and up to date with all the latest and greatest offers and news and updates coming out of Office 365 and Office development. You can sign up for it at dev.office.com/devprogram. The Office team also provides multiple ways for you to sign up and to stay in touch with what's going on. From the Office 365 network and Yammer, to staying in touch on Twitter using the Office Dev handle. You can also ask questions on Stack Overflow using the tag ms-office. We have multiple podcasts as well. If you go to dev.office.com to sign up for different podcasts, such as the Office 365 Developer Podcasts. In Channel 9, there's a developer show as well, the Office 365 Developer Show, that comes out on a weekly basis. You can also find out about a bunch of different tiny little quick snack demos of quick demos. You can find those at YouTube if you go to aka.ms/0365devsnackdemos. And then finally, do you have feedback for the team? Do you have ideas for new features? Do you have changes that you'd like to see implemented? Submit them on User Voice by going to officespdev.uservoice.com, where you can submit your ideas, and then you can also vote on other people's ideas and provide comments to the team. The engineering team looks at these issues on a periodic basis and a regular periodic basis and triages them to look to improve them and add things to the product going forward. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes of your time to watch this screencast.